Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right. We are back. Special edition, Climbing the Pocket podcast, going through our top fives. And I say our like I had something to do with them, but it's really JR's top fives of all of these players, getting you ready for the draft. I guess with that, I should let the man say a little something. JR, man, how you doing tonight, dude?
Good, man. Ready to dive into these linebackers.
All right. Well, okay, before, you know, and you know, if you've been listening to the series this far, you know what's coming now. But if you haven't already bought the draft guide, go on and buy the draft guide. It's a really good draft guide, and it's only $5. You get all of the insights you're getting on this show, plus way more, because JR goes real deep onto all these prospects. So with all that said, number five, JR, linebackers. Who you got for me, man?
Now, this is one of my biggest draft crushes in this entire class, and that's Lorenzo Carr, the outside linebacker from Georgia. Now, he is a little bit versatile for them. Kirby Smart used him in their defense as an edge rusher and as an outside linebacker. But you talk about a guy that's 6'6", 250 pounds, ran a 4.5 at the combine, has those elite traits that you look for in a guy of that stature. The one thing that's questionable about him, though, is his physicality. I would like to see him get a little bit better in that area. And I think they did him a disservice playing him predominantly at edge rusher, because he's not a guy that's going to set the edge violently like that or be a consistent up the field pass rusher. I like him much better as an outside linebacker or an off ball linebacker, dropping into coverage where he can show his range and run a little bit and just show off those traits that he has. Now, if you're asking him to come down and be an edge rusher in third down or those NASCAR speed packages that you have on passing downs, I think he's able to do that. But they asked him a lot of times to be a pass rusher down in and down out, and I just think they used him incorrectly. But he's a guy that can be a 3-4 outside linebacker or a wheel linebacker for teams that run a 4-3 scheme. He reminds me a lot of Manny Lawson coming out, and I think he'll end up being a much better player than what Manny Lawson was, but he still has some boom or bust factor to him like a Manny Lawson did have, because if you use him incorrectly or you're not able to coach those traits that he needs to learn into him, I think he can be phased out very quickly.
I'm not going to lie, man. You know, just based on, you know, him really being your guy, I am surprised to see him at number five, and I'm really, really surprised to see him behind the guy that you have at number four. So I guess you'll break down number four for me and help me understand how you kind of broke it down with, you know, him coming out ahead of your guy, Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, so Leighton Vander Esch from Boise State is the next guy on the countdown, coming in at number four. Interesting story. He started off playing eight-man football in high school, very undersized. Weight-wise, he was 6'3", 185 pounds, and he played safety in high school. He ended up walking on at Boise State and earning his spots on the team there. He was a late bloomer, ended up being a team captain for them, and ended up actually being the first Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year for them since 2006. Only a one-year starter, and a big question I have about him is, why didn't he start before this point? Why did it take until his third season at Boise State for him to blow up like he did in this past season? But if you turn on his film against Oregon, I mean, he was just phenomenal. He was all over the field, and he showed everything that you want to see in a middle linebacker. So, like I said, the biggest question I have about him, though, is why did he have only 1 year of production? Or on the flip side of that, are we just seeing exactly how good he can be, and he's just now blossoming into being what many evaluators think he can be down the road? But as far as a guy, you talk about a Mike linebacker that loves contact, very smooth in coverage. I would like to see him be a little bit more urgent as a blitzer and filling gaps. But as far as diagnosing what's going on in front of him and seeing exactly what's happening in front of him, I think he's a guy that does a very good job of that. Reminds me a lot of Zach Cunningham coming out of Vanderbilt. Plays for the Houston Texans now. More of your smaller, leaner type of linebacker. But I like Leighton Vander Esch overall, but I do have some questions about him. And the biggest thing is that why do we only see that 1 year of production from him?
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, let's move this thing on along here. We're into the top three, and I feel like, you know, every year, if not every year, maybe every other year, you know, when we're getting into that, you know, mid to late first rounder, or I guess even higher sometimes, there's going to be someone from Alabama on the list here. So I guess tell me a little bit about Rashad Evans.
Yeah, we all know Nick Saban keeps a dominant middle linebacker in every defense that he has, and that's what Rashad Evans was for him last season, coming in at number three on this countdown. A guy that reminds me a lot of another former Alabama linebacker, and C.J. Mosley. Now, he's not as polished as C.J. Mosley was, and what I mean by that is being able to diagnose and just dissect exactly what's going on in front of him. But what you love about Rashad Evans is that he plays the game so, so violently. He feels holes very urgently. He's not scared to take those offensive linemen that are standing in the hole head on, or those lead blockers that are in the hole head on. And he's a see ball, get ball type of linebacker. Once he sees exactly who has the ball, he's going at him 100 miles per hour, and he plays with so much physicality. He does need to tame it a little bit, and he is susceptible a bit to those play action fakes and those pre-snap motions that teams use against him because he is so aggressive. But he's a guy that's a bit raw. But if you're able to tame that wild man he has a little bit in him, I think he can turn into a very high-end middle linebacker in the heart, in the middle of a defense.
All right, all right, all right. Well, number two, bring us home. And this is one I'm really interested on because, you know, until Miles gave us a little bit on this one when we did our mock draft, I really hadn't heard much about this guy. So I guess break down number two for me here with Tremaine Edmonds.
Good player, very good player, high upside pick, more of a potential and upside pick as opposed to what he is right now. Everyone loves to say right now that he's 19 years old, which is a rare occurrence. He has a chance to be the first 19-year-old drafted since Amobi Okoye in 2007, I believe it was, by the Houston Texans. So got off to a rough start this year. This really was his first time being a starter from week one, but he got better and he growed every single game that he was in. And that's what gives a lot of people positive confidence about him and how much better he's going to grow in the NFL. He was doing a lot of guessing early on in the season. He really didn't know what he was looking at as far as pullers in the running game and his drops and coverage, exactly knowing where he needed to drop and who he had in man coverage. I know there was a situation against Clemson where he had the running back out of the backfield and he just didn't see him at all. And the running back catches the ball and runs 70 yards for a touchdown. So just little things like that you see on film. But as far as the season progressing, you see him grow each and every game. And him being 19 years old, a lot of teams are probably thinking like, man, how good is this guy going to be when he gets 21, 22 years old? You're going to have a high-end prospect, has great genes. His dad was a tight end, third-round pick of the Dolphins in the 1988 draft, has an older brother that's actually a prospect in the same exact draft. They were teammates at Virginia Tech. His brother plays safety. His name is Terrell Edmonds. So he has those genes in that bloodline in his family, but he's more of your potential and upside pick, and that's why he's getting so much top 10 hype.
All right, and last but certainly not least, who you got here? I mean, I feel like everyone should know who it is, but tell us who it is anyway with a little bit of a breakdown.
Number one, manning the top spot is Roquan Smith, the middle linebacker from Georgia. Funny story about him. He was supposed to sign with UCLA coming out of high school. He actually put on the gloves. You know how the high school kids love to mesh their fingers together with the logo in the palms. He actually did that, putting up the UCLA Bruin. But come to find out, before he actually signed the dotted line of his national letter of intent, the coach that recruited him actually left to go to the Falcons that morning. So he was trying to call him, trying to figure out why he wasn't answering the phone right before he signed his national letter of intent. Come to find out, the coaches from Georgia actually called him and told him the situation and what was going on. And luckily, he ended up signing and switching his decision to Georgia, and it ended up working out for him. He was the heartbeat of Kirby Smart's defense. He was just – everything revolved around him. And what you see with him is that he's at his best when he can run horizontally. Now, he does have some problems disengaging off blocks and holes because he is your smaller linebacker. He's only 6 foot, 236 pounds. So he isn't that tall, linear, or lanky guy like a Tremaine Edmonds or Rashad Evans that can take on that force within the hole. So he does have some problems disengaging in games, and you saw that against Oklahoma in their playoff game. And he's a guy that reminds me a lot of Levante David, more of your smaller, rangy type of linebacker. But you talk about a guy that's fantastic in pass coverage, can play tight ends, running backs, or anybody that's coming out of the backfield in man coverage. He's very comfortable in zone coverage, and he's very effective as a blitzer. So has a lot of character, just turned 21 years old, or he turns 21 years old right around draft time. So he's a guy that's a younger prospect as well that teams are hoping can grow into being that franchise centerpiece of their defense.
All right. Well, JR, thank you once again, you know, breaking these things down for us. I feel like I'm working you kind of hard this week, but you know, it's draft season, so this is what we do to you during draft season. And yeah, I guess we will talk to you again pretty soon here as we keep this top five thing going between now and the draft. So, man, I'll talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it.